chapter 16. Thank you, choir. Y'all did phenomenal. Appreciate all the help. Didn't have a piano player again this morning, but I do appreciate y'all stepping up and making the service what it is. That's a blessing, and I do appreciate it. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 16. And if you can't find Genesis 16, we in trouble. All right? You can read on the screens with us, but we'll be in Genesis chapter number 16, one of my favorite passages that I like to preach out of anyhow. And Genesis chapter number 16, a little obscure chapter. Most chapters of the Bible would tower over it when it comes to doctrine and different things, but I like the story, and so we'll stay with it this morning, and I'll probably read 7 or 8 verses, beginning with verse number 1, just to kind of get some context. And it's only 16 verses long, so it's not a very long chapter at all, but it is right in the middle of the life of Abraham and Sarai. And this is the story of a little Egyptian maid by the name of Hagar. The entire chapter is about this little maiden whose name is Hagar. And we'll see how she fits into the story of redemption. I want you to look in chapter 16, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar." If you go back in Scripture, it doesn't take very long. You can go back just a little bit. In chapter number 13, you can find where Abraham went into, or Abram at the time. His name is still not changed at this point. But Abram at the time goes into Egypt to sojourn there for a while because of a famine that had come in the land of Canaan. And during that time, as he went into Egypt, of course, you can go and read the story, but Abram told some lies. He told everybody that Sarah, or Sarai, her name hadn't changed at that point either, but Sarai was his sister, which was a half-truth because she was his half-sister. But at the same time, he told a lie to deceive those that come and want to court her, all right? The fact is that from Scripture we know that Sarai was very beautiful, all right? And matter of fact, Abram twice lied about who she was to him because of her beauty. Even at the old age of about 80 or 90, she still had such beauty that Abram felt that he had to lie about who she was to him. And so as they went into Egypt in chapter number 13, they deceived Pharaoh by calling Sarai his sister, and he was kicked out of Egypt. And along with that, he was given many gifts because God had given a vision to Pharaoh and told him who exactly Sarah was. And so Pharaoh kicks him out with gifts and with servants. And this is where Hagar came from, all right? And so I want you to get that understanding as we go through Scripture, that Hagar was a slave. This was not a chosen path for her life. She did not choose this. Matter of fact, she had no choice in this. She was given to Abram as a gift, or as a parting gift, if you will, get out. But she was given to him not of her own choosing. Okay, is everybody with me? All right, we understand. So Hagar, you have to understand, a young girl, and at this time, she's probably a teenager, maybe a little older, but I want you to have that idea and that mindset that this was a young girl. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And Sarah said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing," or having children. "I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and it may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Now, fellas, I'm going to help you out. There's a lot of times you need to listen to your wife. In this instance, don't. Amen. I need somebody to say amen. All right, I don't know what Abram was thinking, and I don't know what Sarah was thinking in this, but the custom and the time for this, their culture, for a woman that was barren, a woman that could not have a child, and of course we know that Sarah didn't have Isaac until later in life. And so at this time, the culture, the custom would be for a woman that was barren, that her handmaid would have a child, and she would basically take possession of that child and treat that child as if it was her own. All right, and then I could go through the custom of how this was done, but it's not very pleasant at all about how they went about doing these things. But it was, in fact, basically a surrogate mother, and she was going to give up this child. Now, if you can imagine, I need some ladies to help me. That's not anybody's idea of a good time. First off, she didn't want to be with Abram. First off, this wasn't her design and her plan. It wasn't her purpose as far as she was concerned. It wasn't what she wanted. She didn't choose this. And then now she gets into a situation. She's been a handmaid. She's been a servant, which was all good and fine. But now she's being not asked. She's being told. She's made. She's going to be made to have a child. And then she is going to be made to turn that child over to Sarah. Now, I don't know about y'all. I need some help because I'm not a lady. I don't identify as a lady. I don't know anything about that as a lady. But I'm thinking Mama Bear might have a problem with this. All right? And so here you have to understand, all these things are starting to build up. She didn't want to be there, and yet here she was. She was a slave, and yet she didn't want to be. And now she's asked to be, not asked, she's commanded, she's told that she's going to be a surrogate, and she's going to give over her child whether she likes it or not. Once that child is born, that is Sarai's child. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife." In verse number 4, "And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived." Now this was the worst thing that could happen for Sarai. Sarai has been promised, Abraham's already got the covenant back in chapter number 12 that his seed is going to multiply. It's going to be as the sands of the sea, the stars of the sky. I mean, he's already had a promise that his seed is going to multiply, and Sarai has not been able to give him any children. And now she takes Hagar, her slave, and she makes her go and be his wife. That's a good term, I guess, an easy way to say it. But she conceives. She's now pregnant. The worst thing that could ever happen. Sarai, not only does she have the guilt and the shame of being barren, but now this woman has proved to her that God's not anywhere, as far as she's concerned, God's not anywhere near her. Abraham's seed is going to be multiplied through other women, not her. Can you imagine? Y'all help me. Can you imagine how she was feeling now? All of a sudden, I'm the wife of Abram, and yet I can't give him children, the very thing that God has promised him. And so we see how Hagar was feeling, but we also see how Sarah was feeling. And the Bible says, in verse number 5, let me finish verse number 4. The Bible says, "And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." This simply means that Hagar despised Sarai because now the reality is, I'm fixing to have a child, and she's going to take it. Right? So the Bible says in verse number 5, check this out. "And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I need somebody to help me. I need some fellas right now to help me. How many times have we been asked to do something? We've been commanded to do something by our wife. It didn't work out. And all of a sudden, it's my fault. I need somebody to say amen. I need somebody to grow a spine and say amen, preacher. Preach right there. Because there's been many a time that I've done it exactly the way my wife told me to do it, only to find out it was wrong. And I'd like to go ahead and be on record right now saying I told her before I ever did it, and it didn't turn out right. It wasn't going to turn out right, but it was still my fault. And the only reason that I'm so upset about this and mad about it right now, because she's not in here. Come back to the 11 o'clock service and it'll be a lot calmer when I talk about that, all right? She had to step out for a cigarette. But Sarah says, my wrong be upon thee. She says, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. Boy, that's a dangerous place to be in. That's a dangerous place to be in, as the Lord judging between two individuals that have both done wrong. And as we go through this story, as we look at this, I want you to think about Hagar, because that's what chapter 16 is about. Hagar, the Bible says, when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. What did Sarai think was going to happen? You know, sometimes we do things without even thinking. Can I get a witness? I don't think those things through. And I believe Sarai and Abram was in this place right here. The Bible says in verse number 6, this is where it gets ugly. It don't seem that way, but it gets ugly. The Bible says, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. That's what Abram said. He said, my hands are off of it. I did my part. You got me into this mess. You the one that's upset about it, you deal with her. She's your slave. She's your handmaid. He said, I'm done. Look what happens. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, now, it seems like for most of us, we're probably thinking she yelled at her. She got upset with her. Maybe she put her in time out. Maybe she put her doing things that none of the other slaves wanted to do. But that isn't what this means. What this means is Sarai had this girl beat. That's what this means. This little girl that was taken from her home. Right. Taken from her land. Made a servant. Brought into a family that was supposed to be, we won't call them Christians because Christ hadn't come yet, but they were supposed to be a godly family. Right. This was supposed to be a man that was following the commands of the Lord. This was supposed to be a man and a woman that had God's blessings on their life and an everlasting covenant. That's right. Matter of fact, chapter 15, we see that it was an unconditional covenant. Amen. God said, I'm going to bless you and it doesn't matter what you do. Right. And here she is. Made to partake in an act that she did not want to. Destined to give up a child that she carried for 9 months. And then Sarah has the audacity to beat a pregnant woman because of the way she looked at her. I need somebody to help me. Can you imagine what that young girl was going through? The Bible says in verse 6 there at the end that she fled from her face. But I want you to look at verse number 7, because this is where the story really picks up. The Bible says in verse number 7, the angel of the Lord found her. Now, this don't mean a whole lot unless you know how to study your Bible. But if you understand and know how to study your Bible, then you'll know that this is the first mention of the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is significant because it's not just any angel. This is Jesus Christ before Bethlehem. This ain't just anybody that showed up. This isn't Michael, and this isn't Gabriel, and this isn't any of the other angels. This was Jesus that showed up. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a reference to Christ prior to Bethlehem. And the Bible says that he found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. As we look at this, verse number 8, it says, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. I'm going to read one more verse. I'd like to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter. The Bible says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will. Notice, we ain't talking about just any angel. I will multiply thy seed. Is everybody seeing? This is God who's speaking to her. This is Jesus Christ. He says, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Now, I want you to notice something. This is the same promise that was given to Abraham. And now God is giving it to this little girl that's been beaten, that's pregnant, that now has ran away. The Bible says, and I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son and shalt call his name Ishmael. And because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai-Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. In other words, he was 86 years old. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Blessing. But as we look at this morning, I entitled it, When You're Out of Options. And this is where this girl was. What do you do in that situation? Would any of us have done any different? No. I think most of us, let's just be honest about it, we would have left long before. Can I get a witness? I think I'm all right. We'd have left long before the beating. But here she is, her entire life has been completely turned upside down. And she has been mistreated by people that are supposed to be close to God. Have you ever been there? Man, we're living in a day and time where people, they're going from church to church because I'm church hurt. I've been hurt by somebody in the church. I've been done wrong by somebody in the church. The problem is that from everybody that's been done wrong, they probably done somebody else. I mean, let's just get honest about it. We ain't nothing but human beings, and we're full of mistakes. Just because we don't say something at the right time or do something at the right time doesn't mean that somebody's trying to intentionally hurt you. But it can feel like the weight of the world. And it builds, and it builds, and it builds. How many of y'all has ever been in a situation where you get upset with somebody and then everything they do bothers you? I need somebody to help me. I mean, you get upset with them and then they open the door too fast. I don't know why they got to go into the bathroom every time I'm in the bathroom. I get water all over the counter while they're washing their hands. I need somebody to help me. They stand there at the door and dry their hands. Why can't they get out of the way so somebody can get in the bathroom? Don't they know I got to use the... Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Why? Why they come in and sit in the same chair all the time? Don't they know that there's visitors coming while you're sitting in the same chair that you sit in all the time? Why do they have to go to the altar? They don't need to go to the altar. They need to come to Jesus. Can I get a witness? You need to be saved, not be praying down here on the altar that God will bless your family. Y'all got to help me. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Ladies, when he does something wrong, I need somebody to help me. And you ain't got the courage to say it. For 6 months, there's issues in that house. Where he leaves his shoes, where he leaves his underwear, where he leaves his socks. Is everybody all right? Y'all not now we're starting. These things start building up. I got to move on. I'd love to spend 3 hours preaching this because we all know what we're capable of. And here this girl was hurt. She was broken and she was done wrong by somebody that should have been a better person. A family that should have treated her better than what they did. And here everything seems to be against her. Hagar takes off and she runs. She runs and she says, I'm done with it. Ever been there?
Yes.
She ain't the last one that said it. You know, Jonah, he says, I'm done. Elijah, he says, I'm done. I mean, all through Scripture, I'm done. I'm done. I'm through. Simon Peter, I'm going fishing. I'm done. Right? Over and over again. In Scripture, we see the same thing. But here, this little girl, she's running. She says, I've had enough. But I want you to notice a couple things, and I'll be done. I want you to notice that when she was running, there was a contact that was initiated. There was a contact that was initiated. It was the angel of the Lord. It wasn't anybody else. Can I say this? Oftentimes, it ain't going to be a Sunday school teacher that comes after you. Oftentimes, it ain't going to be one of your buddies at church. It's going to be the one that's coming after you. But you can be assured of this. When you have run out of options and you're running as fast as you can be assured that if you're one of his, he will come to where you are. The Bible says he found her at this fountain. I've always liked this because, you know, we always go back to John chapter number 4 and we talk about that woman at the well and we talk about her 5 marriages and her 5 divorces, but she was not the first one that Jesus visited at a well. This little girl all the way back in Exodus chapter number 16, Genesis chapter number 16, God found her by a well. God found her. She wasn't looking for him. She was running as fast as she could, hurt, broken, but he was looking for her. And I need somebody to hear me tonight or this morning. God is looking for you today. I know things ain't gone the way you wanted it to go. Things ain't been the way that you wanted it to be. Things hadn't gone as you would have planned it out. I know there's been things that have been said, things that have been done to you that have upset you and that have hurt you. And I know there's some place in you that thinks the best option is to just go and forget about it, get numb to all of it, and just leave. But God is looking for you. He came to where she was at. He found her. He found her and he gave her a command. There was a command that was instructed. Now listen to this. He told her. He said, let me read it. He said, Hagar, verse number 8, Sarah's maid. He identified her with her responsibility. Is everybody all right? Amen. We don't like this part of it. Because we want to run wild and free. Anarchy. I need somebody to help me. But God found her. And when he initiated contact with her, he reminded her of who she was. And he says this to her, verse number 9, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. There was a command that was instructed to return and to submit. Everybody stay with me. Stay with me. She thought everything had gone rogue. She thought everybody had lost their mind. She could not see any purpose or plan in her mess. Amen. Is everybody with me? As far as she was concerned, it was messed up. What had happened to her was so messed up, you could not repair it. You couldn't fix it. There wasn't no getting around it. There wasn't no getting over it. There wasn't no getting through it. But he said, I got a plan. I've got a plan in all of this. I'm going to go over to this side and say it. God said to her, I have a plan in all of this. Doesn't mean that God was in the middle of all of that. I need somebody to hear me right here. You need to learn how to differentiate between the evil of man and God's holiness. God didn't have nothing to do with the decisions that Abram and Sarai made. But in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, God had a purpose and a plan for the mess that she had been through. How many of you have ever been through a mess? Come on, raise your hand up. How many has ever been through a mess? How many of you know this? God has a plan for that mess. God sent her back. Return to thy mistress. Submit to her hand. Why? Because God's plan involved Abram and Sarah too. I wonder how many Christians have run away. How many Christians have taken off and gone running away from the very people that God had in their plan. Listen, I need somebody to hear me. This little girl wouldn't have made it in the wilderness. This little pregnant girl wouldn't have made it in the desert. God had a plan for her to be healthy and to have a healthy boy. Amen. But it involved her going back to what she was supposed to have been doing all along. I love you. But you need to understand there's a lot of people that's walked away from responsibilities. There's a lot of people that's run away from problems. Instead of allowing God to use your problem to prepare you for your future. There was a command that was instructed, but there was a covenant that was instituted. In verse number 10, I mentioned this while we read scripture. She got the same covenant that Abram did. Not the exact. I mean, Abram had the blessings. I'll bless those that bless thee and I'll curse those that curse thee. But she had the same blessing of her seed being multiplied. See, when you look at this, there was a covenant that was instituted. God came to her. Her blessing came from a fountain. Her blessing came through her failure. This covenant was given to her through her failure. I don't think we understand that, because most of us think we got to be perfect for God to covenant with us. I need somebody to help me this morning. But here in her failure, say, preacher, how was she wrong? She was running when she had no business running. Preacher, I just don't see how it's wrong. I don't either. I'll be honest with you. If I looked at her life, I'd have done the same thing. But at the same time, what seemed like a failure to her, God said, I'm going to bless it. So there was a covenant that was instituted. I want you to notice this. Failure is not final. Sarah was blessed through her failure with Hagar. She ended up with an open wound and had Isaac. Moses was blessed through his failure. Moses killed a man, buried him in the sand. But God found him. The backside of a desert. I need somebody. It's all right. David, he was blessed. One of those sins that you and I go, how could he? And yet Bathsheba gave him Solomon. Wisest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Through David's failure. Simon Peter, he was blessed through his failure. Three times he denied Christ. Jesus died on a cross. Simon Peter says, I'm done, I'm going fishing. Jesus comes to him on the shore, invites him to come and dine. Ask him three times, do you love me? You know I love you. Yes, I love you. God, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Acts chapter number 2. Simon Peter stands up with nothing but a testimony of Jesus Christ and how he had come to die for all those that were listening. How he rose again the third day. 3,000 people, the Bible says, was saved through failures. Failure is not final. Lastly, there's a companion that's inherited. I want you to look in verse number 13. The Bible says, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. That's El Roi. It's the God who sees. That's what it means. She called him, listen, I need everybody to hear me. She gave him that name. You and I know that name. If you don't, you need to do a little bit of studying. We sang Jireh, all right, this morning. Jehovah Jireh. My God will provide. These are some of the names. El Shaddai was mentioned in that song. Is everybody with me? She named him. El Roi, the God who sees me. When the whole world is against me, he's the God who sees me. When everything seems to hurt and pains at every corner, he is the God who sees you. He is the God who hears you. He's a God who comforts you. He's a God who instructs you. He's a God who loves you. She said, he sees me. All through Scripture, God is seen. God seen Noah in a perverse world where every thought and intent of man was towards evil. And Noah found grace because God seen him. God saw Abraham Even in his disobedience, God saw Abraham and made a nation out of him. God saw Moses after he murdered a man. Buried him in the sand. God seen him on the backside of a desert at a burning bush. God saw a widow in Zarephath who had a child who was making her last meal. And Elijah, the man of God, came walking through the gates of the city with a handful of meal, a cruse of oil. They ate for a year and a half because God seen them. God saw Elijah after Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal slain, rain after 3 years because he prayed. Jezebel said, "I'll kill you before tomorrow." He ran, just like Hagar. He took off and he ran as fast as he could. The Bible says there was an angel of the Lord that came to him, fed him some cakes by fire. When he was under the juniper tree and he said, "It is enough, done," God seen him. God saw Jonah in the middle of a storm. Oh, Jonah said, "I ain't doing it. I'm going to run. God seen him in the middle of a storm. God prepared a storm. God prepared a fish. Because God had already prepared a message. He seen Jonah. God seen Rahab in the wall, side of Jericho. God said, "Put a red string, red rope out, scarlet thread." Little did she know, she was telling the whole world the story of redemption. But God saw her in Jericho, that cursed city. God saw a divorced woman by the well. Five marriages, five divorces. More than likely, a woman that felt like nobody wanted her, nobody loved her. But God saw her. God saw her. God saw a begging mother who was out of options, ran to Jesus and said, "My daughter's going to die if you don't do something." Been there? God saw her. God saw grieving sisters, Martha and Mary, as they stood by the tomb of Lazarus. God seen them. God saw a widow in Nain on her way to bury her son. Broken, hurt, already a widow. Now, fixing to give up any hope she had of family. God seen her, touched a coffin, and gave her new life. God saw a child when the world hung a thief. He said, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." God said, "I see you. Today I shall be with me in paradise." God saw me 2,000 years ago. God saw you 2,000 years ago. When he hung on a cross, we were all out of options. We were all out of options. We'd done wrong. We'd messed up. We left the responsibilities that were given to us by our Creator. We were on the run as fast as we could away from God. He hung on a cross and He saw you. And He said, this pain right now is worth it. So I can spend an eternity with you. You're not out of options. With God, you're never out of options. Let me encourage you this morning. Bow your heads with me. Some have already come to the altar. There's plenty of room here. Find you a place. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to feel like the world is against you. I know what it's like to feel like you're all out of options. But like Hagar, I know what it's like to run right into the middle of God. I know what it's like to sit there with Him. I know what it's like to have the blessings of God. We sang earlier the goodness of God. We sang earlier Jehovah Jireh. We sang earlier, all my hope. We began with, I see the evidence. Oh, God's been good to us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask real quickly today, right where you're at, if you were to meet God, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd spend eternity in heaven? If you say, preacher, I'm not sure, I want you to do me a favor and just look right up at me. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to embarrass you. Nobody's going to call you out. I just want to know how to pray. I want to know how to end the service. Preacher, pray for me. I do not know that I'd go to heaven if I died. Is there anybody like that in the building today? Just look right up at me. Make eye contact. You can put your head right back down. Just asking you to be honest with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. God, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for Miss Hagar. Lord, I don't like what she went through. I don't like, Lord, how she was treated. Lord, if I put myself in that story, I definitely could see myself doing the same things. And Lord, probably worse. Lord, I know it's difficult to continue when you're hurt. But Lord, I know, Lord, it's in my hurt, God, that you draw so near. As the psalmist said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God, I pray today you comfort your children. Those that are hurt, those that feel broken, those that feel abused and misused, God, I pray today you'd comfort, you'd heal. Hagar made it. She was out of options, but she made it because you had a plan. You took her mess, Lord, through a miracle. Lord, you multiplied her blessings. God, I pray this morning that you'd do the same for us. Lord, thank you for a wonderful service. Lord, I ask you to bless us as we go our separate ways. Lord, I ask that you move in the 11 o'clock hour. God, I pray for your presence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd prepare hearts even now before they ever got to church. Lord, may the Spirit be such in this building that we'd receive not only the worship, Lord, that we would receive the message this morning. Let us put aside ourselves for a while, Lord, and get completely focused on you. Lord, we love you. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.